This show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. I'm Kevin Kelly. Been off for a couple of weeks. Hope you enjoyed the highlight programs we played the week before New Year's and, of course, the classical music in this time slot this past week or so. And back with two live segments for you. First up, we'll be talking with actors from and the director of the current production being put on by the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana. It's called Gruesome Playground Injuries, a play by Rajiv Joseph. And it's just a two-person play, two-actor play. And we'll have a couple live scenes in our studio. And then a live performance by the Big Creek Guitar Band, who are playing in Champaign on Friday night at Huber's. That'll be an 8 o'clock show, and we've got the band live with us for the second portion of our program today. Hope you'll stay with us here on Live and Local. That was a tune called Little Martha, played by the Big Creek Guitar Band, and or a subset thereof, sounded like. We have the full three-person band with us going to be on the show coming up shortly here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. But first, we have the director and both actors from the current production at the Station Theater in Urbana, the Celebration Company, the name of the troupe that performs there. It's a flexible troupe, according to who wins the auditions and the whims of the director and however these things go. All three are returnees on this program and have been many times at the station. The play actually opened last week on the 5th, ran through the 8th, and then is going to be running the 11th through the 15th and the 18th through the 21st, all shows at 8 o'clock. And it is called Gruesome Playground Injuries, a play by Rajiv Joseph, directed by Matthew Green, and the actors are Katie Baldwin and Rob Zaleski. And first thing I have to ask you, Matthew, during this 40th anniversary season for the Celebration Company, what is it with playground injuries for this season? Because this is the second play this year that has involved injuries on the playground. Well, at least in the title of the play.
Yeah, that's correct. To be honest, I hadn't realized. We opened the season with God of Carnage, which was the catalyst for that play was a playground injury. So
it was a good play, too. I enjoyed that.
A very good play. And another very current, very new play featuring a small cast in a small, concentrated sort of setting. That's interesting. We do have some overlap of themes this year, which was not intentional, but sometimes in putting together the best possible season, you do run up against some of the same ideas more than once.
And in this case, there are injuries in the title, are there? And that it sort of begins that way, I gather, at least in the plot. And so you guys really need to, Rob and Katie, you need to transform yourselves from little kids to however old you become by the end of the play?
Yeah, we play the same characters from ages 8 to 38, and we do have changes between every scene. Rob has quite a bit of makeup, gauze, things like that to deal with. Mine are mostly costume changes.
And his gauze has to do with the gruesome playground injury?
Yeah, mine are all mostly the external injuries, and hers are more of the internal injuries. So we kind of go back and forth, and the characters try to help each other out in whatever ways that they can. But yeah, it's been a challenge for sure to quickly do these changes where I've got some pretty horrific injuries, actually.
How do you manage acting 8?
There's a certain innocence you have to bring to it. And Matthew actually...
Not to mention shrinking a lot.
There's some tricks that we've employed.
Costuming helps. We kind of employ the Catholic school outfits because the kids are in a Catholic school. So that kind of gives a little bit of the visual cue
younger. Rob in shorts and Katie in a skirt, I suppose.
Actually a genuine school uniform jumper. It's actually Matthew's wife's from when she was in school, and she still has it. It's this plaid dress that you'd wear, like a white button-down shirt underneath and maybe a cardigan over it. So that's what I wear. And it actually fits a person of my size. I think it's meant for a teenager. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it actually fits me well enough.
Well, your normal adult size, I'd say.
Yeah, I suppose. And yeah, we've got a couple tricks up our sleeves. I mean, I think the key, like Rob said, is to add some innocence and take away a lot of self-consciousness.
Right. And we had a discussion with Matthew about, when you're a kid, so much is just absolutely new to you. And so part of that is treating everything like it's a new experience and, the kind of adding a little bit of wonder to just what's around you in your basic, settings. Because as you become an adult, you get a little bit more jaded and a little bit more used to the world. You don't pay as much attention to things as you would when you're a child. So kind of bringing a little bit of that to it as well.
Some curiosity as well.
Yeah.
Lots of questions. What is that? Why? And how? And that definitely adds that childlike feel to the characters. Rajiv Joseph knows what he's doing. I mean, you read that scene and these are children. You know what he intended.
They're not having deep philosophical conversations.
But I imagine that they do. As the your relationship develops and as the characters mature and so on,
The vocabulary changes, the dialogue changes. There's definitely we play 8 and 13, and then we go on into later teens, 18, and then into our 20s and 30s. And once these characters reach adulthood, they do kind of keep that same cadence and same kind of wording. But as children and teenagers, there's a definite difference in the writing that Rajiv has done. You can tell an 8-year-old from a 23-year-old from a 13-year-old. He's very good at making that distinction.
Well, let's talk about Rajiv Joseph a little bit. He doesn't happen to be a playwright that I'd heard of, but I'm not all that connected into straight plays either. And so I looked up a little bit about him. Certainly has a bunch of awards to him. I like this quotation from himself. Since you're talking about, capturing what kids are like and so on in language. But he says here, quote, "The need to tell a very interesting and compelling story makes certain then that my plays are not in the least bit autobiographical," unquote.
I like that.
It's kind of interesting. Matthew, normally the directors at the station select their own plays, so I assume this was your choice?
Oh, yes.
What made you choose it?
It was on a short list. I also happen to be on the committee that puts the season together. And it was on a short list I had of two or three plays that I was interested in directing, willing to direct, and hoping would fit the needs of the season. And when I sat down to make my final decision, there were plays that I thought might be bigger audience draws. There were plays where I could certainly incorporate different actors, more actors. This is only a two-character piece. But I've said this before, and this is largely my criteria for the kind of plays I like in general, not just selecting this one. This was the play with the most blood going to it. You know, this was the play that I felt was the most vital, and that it had going for it all the things that I tend to look for in good theater. To me, a good play has to have brains, it has to have heart, it has to have guts, and it has to have teeth. So this had all of those.
Define teeth.
Teeth, see, teeth is different than guts. Guts means that a play is in some way brave.
Imagine the guts. Yeah.
To me, teeth means that there's something about the piece that grabs onto you and won't let go. There's something about it, and I mean, it's to say that a play has teeth, I mean, it's, you know, it does conjure up certain images, but it, to me, it's a play that has to leave there with you.
And maybe hurts a little bit?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had some pretty strong reactions so far from audience members and gotten a lot of really kind of vivid feedback. People, the imagery and the emotions and very specific moments that really stuck with people that I'll talk to several days later in passing. And they'll say, I've been thinking about that, and this is what I think. And I guess I'm surprised to hear it. Like, really? You've been thinking about it? And they're like, oh, yeah. I mean, that I'll probably see it again because I need to see that again and get my thoughts together. So we've had some really strong reactions so far.
Yeah, it's left an impression on quite a few people. And we've received, you know, emails and, you know, Facebook messages just saying, you know, wow, I was really blown away by this scene or by, you know, the way you guys handled this moment. And, you know, that really affected me. And
yeah, it's been overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's been really wonderful, the response we've gotten. I'm very grateful because we worked really hard and we were hoping to present something that would be thought-provoking and would stick with people. And I think we've accomplished that so far.
It's often difficult for me to sit with an audience to watch a play that I've directed. I don't like to be in the seats with the audience, but I do like to find a hiding place where I can watch the audience's reaction. And a lot of wiping of eyes with this piece. A lot of people who appear to be holding their breath at certain moments. It's
right along with us, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, crying right with us and shaking and holding our breath all together. It feels like a very intimate energy where you can feel someone holding their breath with you on stage. It's really moving. It's been really tremendous so far.
I always think that it would be risky for a playwright to decide to write a two-person play or for a company to decide to produce a two-person play, although Station does this sort of thing with great regularity, because the risk is that it could be really boring. You know, that's one of the risks. I mean, because you can, all right, so you got two friends, they've been around for each other for 30 years, and so they talk to each other, big deal. This is just like regular life. But
Right. Apparently
he's written it in such a way that
it's not regular.
Right.
Not regular, yeah.
It's somehow relatable, but not regular.
Yeah, and they come in and out of each other's lives at pretty integral points. And it kind of surrounds around the different injuries, whether they be physical or internal. And so those oftentimes are the catalyst for the scene that you're watching is, you know, in the opening scene, my character rode his bike off the roof of the school, and he's got, you know, this gashed open bloody forehead.
Real clever kid.
Right. he's a little on the daredevil side.
Yeah, the script does brush on that subject of how smart he or not smart he is in his actions.
I jumped off the roof of my house once.
Sure.
Yeah, every kid's
done. And I think I still have the injury.
Mm-hmm. Every kid's got something.
Those ones tend to stay with you for a while.
Well, it's the act. If a child does it, it's an act of curiosity. And Rob's character describes himself early on as brave. As you get older, such tendencies tend to take on different descriptors.
It's not brave. It's not adventurous. It's right, self-destructive or even stupid, if you want to be blunt.
And as far as the, you know, the interesting quotient with, you know, two people who are friends and they keep coming back together at different points in their life to speak, one thing I should point out, one very clever thing that Rajiv Joseph did in writing this play is that it is not chronological. They jump from 8 to 23.
To 13.
Back to 13.
To 28. To 18. To 33. To 23. To 38. And then the play ends.
Yeah.
So as Matthew likes to say, we start at the beginning and we end at the end. But everything in the middle is all scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Matthew, I said in introducing you all that you're all veterans of shows at the station, and actually you've become veterans of Live and Local for that matter, because you've all been in here. But why do you keep picking Katie Baldwin? And to a lesser degree, Rob. I mean, Rob's been in a number of shows, but I don't know how.
Three
I don't
of them so far.
Know offhand. Three of Matthew Green shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is our third show, all three of us together.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. What's the attraction? And now these two can just cover their ears if they want.
Oh, they've...
I'll be embarrassed, but pleased, I'm sure.
They've heard me say complimentary and less complimentary things. Usually those are in private.
You got the microphone. You
sure.
Say with, what you want. Now.
With Katie in particular, I like the fact that she is, in many ways, a chameleon when it comes to the characters she plays. Every actor has things that are specifically in their wheelhouse, things they do really well. And Katie has that bag of things that she does really well. But at the same time, I have seen her portray such varied characters over the last few years. It's really quite impressive. And she will invest herself deeply in a role. I'm sure it's much more restful for her when the role is happy or when the role is comedic.
I don't get a lot of those lately.
But I knew going into this show, and I don't really pick shows for actors. When I read a play, I want the play to grab me on its own merits. And then if I can start hearing someone's voice, that's great. If I can start visualizing a particular actor that I know or that I've seen, that's fantastic, because that helps me decide if this is a play that's worth doing. Because as I'm reading a play, I'm picturing it in the station. And I oftentimes come out of reading a play with a cast in mind, not always cemented, but, you know, I have ideas. And I keep coming back to Katie because, for one thing, I love plays that have very strong female characters. Not always strong of will, but strongly written. And Katie has worked with me often enough that she and I have a shorthand. And I know how to get from her what I need for a scene, for a character, for a play. And I feel like I also know how to give her what she needs to put her in the right mindset, to help her make a leap to something that the play requires, because we have that trust, we have that that rapport with each other. And I've developed that now with Rob as well. I've cast him 3 times in 3 very different roles.
Yes.
And each time he's delivered. And I'm really proud of what the three of us have been able to accomplish together in the last few years. In this particular instance, this was not an open audition, come in and read for the part kind of thing. This was a situation where I knew these two people. I'd worked with them several times. And honestly, their audition for this play took place over the course of a couple of years, because I had seen from them that they had what it took to play these two people and to grab an audience, to, you know, to bring the teeth out.
We're talking with Matthew Green, director of Gruesome Playground Injuries at the Station Theater in Urbana, the celebration company there, which opened last weekend, and it'll continue the 11th through the 15th and the 18th through the 21st. It's a two-person play by Rajiv Joseph. The two people are Katie Baldwin and Rob Zaleski. And I thank you, now that we've talked about the play, you do have a scene. You in suggested strongly that most scenes won't work so hot on the radio.
No.
But I gather this one will. What's the setup for this?
Well, this is the opening of the show. The kids are eight. They meet up in the nurse's office where Kayleen, played by Katie, is in there because she's got a stomach ache. And Doug is in there because he rode his bike off the roof and he's bandaged up and got a bloody forehead. And this is kind of their first meeting.
What happened to your face?
I fell.
Why?
I don't know.
Does it hurt?
A little.
I have a stomach ache. Sometimes food makes me sick. My mom says it's because I have bad thoughts.
Like what?
Bad thoughts.
Like about Dracula?
About stomachs.
I have bad thoughts about Dracula.
Yeah.
Blood tastes funny. It tastes like fruit.
It does not.
Have you ever cut your face open?
No.
I had a stomach ache one time when I went and saw the movies.
I like to go to the movies, except when I come out and there's sun.
I had three big Cokes, and I had gummy worms. I like to swallow them like they're real worms.
Why do you have so much blood?
Because I fell.
Why'd you fall?
I rode my bike off the roof.
What roof?
This roof.
The school roof?
Yeah.
Why?
I was playing Evel Knievel.
What's Evel Knievel?
He's a motorcycle guy. That's how I broke my face.
Your face isn't broken, it's just cut.
Sister Mary Pat said I broke my face.
Does it hurt?
One time, I went ice skating with my brothers, and I fell on the ice, and this girl skated by me, and her ice skate cut my eyelid, and I was bleeding out of my eye. I couldn't see because of all the blood.
Did it hurt?
No, because the eyelid is small, even though there is a lot of blood. I have a scar on my eye. Girls don't get scars.
Yes, we do.
How come?
If you rode your bike off the roof, then how did you get the bike on the roof?
I climbed up a tree.
You took your bike with you up the tree?
Yeah.
Why?
So I could ride it off the roof.
And then you rode your bike off the roof?
Yeah.
You're stupid.
I am not.
Yes, you are.
Shut up.
You shut up. And so on.
I could just imagine the rest of that. You shut up. No, you shut up. I assume he cuts that off quickly, right?
Right. And then they have that kind of banter where it's almost random conversation because, you know, kids don't necessarily follow a linear conversation.
Yeah. They're quite self-involved.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of back and forth. It's just sort of hitting a ball against a wall rather
right.
than falling
well,
over
I did this.
To each other.
Well, I did that.
Yeah.
Well, that is the opening, and you'll have to imagine the rest from what we've said so far, or better yet, just go out and see the play, which is the point, of course, of their coming in and appearing here on Live and Local is to get out and get you out to go see them live and locally. Station Theater, I can tell you from personal experience, always does a wonderful job with their productions. They're always interesting plays, and it's a wonderful, intimate setting, to say the very least. Celebration Comedy at the Station Theater in their 40th anniversary season. It's Gruesome Playground Injuries with Katie Baldwin and Rob Zaleski. Matthew Green is the director, and thank you all three for coming in on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up next, it's the Big Creek Guitar Band live in our studio. We just have to do a quick setup change. Our broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from St. Joseph Apothecary in St. Joseph, a full-service pharmacy specializing in compounding medications to meet individual patient needs. St. Joseph Apothecary invites you to join them in supporting WILL. And by the way, I've neglected to say that if you want tickets to the station, you can actually now reserve them online.
Hooray!
at stationtheater.com, or you can phone 217-384-4000. It's live and local on FM 90.9.
I got a traveling bone on the day I was born. So I left my only home, find out what I was looking for. They said the world must be round, so I sailed the seven seas. But this searching for a brand new world is getting the best of me. I could sell my soul to the devil for a dime. Worked me 25 years on that assembly line, till they finally made the gear, took away that job of mine. Now I'm out here on this corner, I got holes in both my shoes. Well, I got nowhere to turn, I got nothing. Except these blues, I could sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
Sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
I could sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
Sell my soul to the devil for a
been out on this boulevard since 1969. I found that life was so hard, thought about stepping over the line. Now I know someday my ticket number's gonna win. But the cold wind is blowing and I got to pack my coat. It's such a sin, I could sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
Sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
I could sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
Sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
I could sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
I could sell my soul to the devil for a dime.
Sell my soul.
It was a tune called Devil for a Dime, performed by the Big Creek Guitar Band here on Live and Local. That's actually off of a CD of theirs, but they are all three with us on the show right now to play some live tunes. I have to tell you that I've known that the Big Creek Guitar Band has been around and has played a lot, for example, at the Kickapoo Landing series in the summer and springtime there. And I hadn't called you before because I just made the assumption that, oh, it's going to be a bunch of loud electric rock guitars. And here you all are, at least partially acoustic. And I really enjoyed the music that, not that I don't enjoy some rock and roll, but I really enjoyed the music that I heard from your CD here. And was glad that my intern, Jason Hayes, found you and asked you to come on my first day back after 2.5 weeks off.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you very much. So Tom Fouch, Dave Lindsay, and Randy Smith are the Big Creek Guitar Band. Thanks for coming in.
You bet.
Thank you.
So we're talking about your gig this coming Friday in Champaign at Huber's, mm-hmm. which is a nice place to hear music and have a beer. Is that a place you've been at regularly?
Oh, yeah. We've been there for quite a few years, and we're booked there once a month, the whole year. We've got the whole year booked up there.
That's I'm increasingly finding bands that have regular gigs in regular spaces. Are there other spaces that you play with that regularity, or is Huber's the monthly?
The Pink House in Ogden. We do every first Friday of the month for happy hour there.
Kickapoo Landing series, you know, when they're the warm weather months, we're usually once a month there, sometimes twice a month. Beautiful, beautiful place. Have you been out there?
I have been to Kickapoo, but I actually have not been to one of the music programs.
It's such a
programs.
Gorgeous setting to listen to music in. It's right by the lake with beautiful cypresses coming up behind the stage. And you know.
Well, I assume that music on the landing, I think is what it's called, so mm-hmm.
yep,
lies
yep,
being on
right.
the water.
It's outdoors when the yeah. weather's good.
Well, I don't know why I haven't gotten there. You know, that's one of the things that this program is sort of designed to address, the I don't know why I haven't gone out and seen these people sort of syndrome, because we all get into it, where you heard that you may even know that a group you like is playing, and you get home on a Friday night from work, and you think, I don't know, maybe I'll just stay home. But hopefully when people hear you guys play and other people play when they are live on our show, they think, they'll have to go out and hear you live, because this is just the tiniest sampling of what you all are going to do at Huber's on Friday.
That's true. And, you know from your profession here that this area is just a mecca. It's a hotbed for world-class talent. You know, a lot of homegrown people, the university. But this place has always been rich with musicians and real good ones, too.
Of all kinds.
Yeah,
of all kinds.
Exactly.
What would you guys like to start with?
Let's do one called Blues Like Midnight, guys. What do you say?
Sounds good. Let's
try that. Y'all ready? Here we go.
Got the blues like a midnight, honey, won't be long for day. I got the blues like midnight, honey, won't be long for day. You know I wish that old junk band coming haul my blues away. I can tell my bulldog when I hear him bark. I can tell my bulldog when I hear him bark. I can tell my baby when I hear her in the dark. I can tell my bulldog when I hear him bark. tell my baby when I hear her in the dark. I got the blues like midnight, honey, won't be long for day. I got the blues like midnight, honey, won't be long for day. You know I wish that old junk man come and haul my blues away. You know I wish that old junk man come and haul my blues away. You know I wish that old junk man will come and haul my blues away.
Big Creek Guitar Band, live in our studio here on Live and Local. And it occurred to me, you know, I hope I don't mix up two of you here. But Dave, you were the one singing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Dave on vocal and guitar. And Tom Fouch, Dave Lindsay, vocal and guitar, and Tom Fouch on the slide guitar. And Randy Smith on the bass. That's a beautiful color of that bass, by the way. I didn't know Samick made basses. I just knew them as... piano manufacturers, aren't they?
Yeah, they do that. They're one of the largest guitar manufacturers in the world, under different names, but they make them all over the world too.
That's like Cooper being one of the largest tire manufacturers. They just they make everybody else's tires. Sorry, that's really neither here nor there. I was just looking. Wow, that's a nice color. How much of the tunes you do are covers and originals? Versus originals. And what was that?
Third originals at this point.
Was that original tune?
No, that was an old blues tune. I don't know how many people have covered that.
Countless. Yeah, it's a really old tune.
So that just shows where I'm out of the blues picture here. I'd have known the answer to that question.
Well, you know, there are so many different versions of old Robert Johnson songs, you know, things that were written in the 20s. Some of them you can't recognize as Robert Johnson songs. So there are so many different interpretations of these great old players and their work that, you know, it's not to blame you because you might not recognize it. You may have heard it a different version somewhere else. So.
I'm the musical of, you know, what do they say, the jack of all trades, master none.
Right,
except I can't actually play any of these things you're playing, but I listen to a lot. Mm-hmm. But I don't always keep track of songs and remember them from place to place. I just tend to enjoy them all over again. So this is a sample of one type of music that you guys do, and I notice you mix it up quite a bit stylistically. How did you decide what the Big Creek Guitar Band was going to do when you got together? Or did that evolve?
Well, it started out with probably just a certain handful of songs, and it's grown from there. I mean, we've got pretty good variety. We're doing Allman Brothers, Beatles, old blues, originals. Classic rock, like The Who. We seem to be getting more and more varied music-wise as we go along.
It's eclectic. The mix is really eclectic, and that's our backgrounds are all different. We actually started playing music around a campfire. We all like to paddle, kayak and canoe. So we used to take trips together and just camp out together. We all knew about each other, but that's how we met, really, was through camping and paddling and playing around a campfire. And we just decided, well, we might as well just go do this somewhere, you know, go to stages and start playing stages. And
just kind of grown from there.
You know, I'm starting to wonder now how many bands do come together because of some other interest. Because we had a band in here last fall called Resonation Station. I don't know if you know these guys from around Mattoon, and they are all at least three, if not all four of them, have the common interest of mushroom hunting.
There you go.
And so they do this as a, you know, a group activity as well as musically speaking. But that seemed to have been the interest first. So this is a new theme I'm going to start exploring.
What kind of mushrooms?
Yeah. Morels, I believe.
How did you really meet?
Not the other kind, although that's the first thing I thought about. I wouldn't have thought about it, but it made for some nice music making. I mean, did you mean when you started that you were going to be this eclectic group, or did that is that?
Not necessarily. No, we went out and drank a lot of rum and gin and hung around the campfire, and we were all aware of each other. We all know we're all musicians. We've been together maybe about 10 years now, but we just never, you know, had an opportunity to play together until we started camping and boating together, paddling. And we just had such a great time doing it. You know, we're a happy band. When we play live, we laugh a lot and just pull off some crazy stuff and have a great time doing it.
And one thing I think we sort of agreed on in the first place is we really don't need or want a drummer
or a leader.
We had a percussionist for a while, but that was kind of short-lived. It's a low-maintenance band, you know, just three of us, three guitars.
Well, it does make it easy to bring you on a radio program, that's for sure.
For sure.
If you don't have a drummer.
And also, if you listen to us play, hardly ever the three of us doing the same thing. There's so much rhythmically going on that you really don't need a percussionist in there. Just any five-second period during a song, none of us are doing the same thing usually.
So it sets up a nice
kind of a nice rhythmic balance.
You mentioned that the three of you do have different musical backgrounds. Why don't you talk about those a little bit?
Go ahead, Dave.
I'd say my backgrounds are basically from a lot of 70s rock and then later on blues. So both of those genres I was really heavy into and still am to an extent.
You're playing in another band. Renegade?
Well, I was up until recently.
Oh.
I just left that band very recently.
Should
actually.
I say I'm sorry, or was that a?
Oh no.
Amicable.
It was amicable. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Randy?
Basically, I did high school days. Started out doing Beatles and Dave Clark Five. That's going to date me right there, but. And did a lot of, during the 70s and 80s, classic rock and roll. And then did the disco thing in the 80s.
Oh, wow. I'd like to almost pay money to see that.
Then I got into blues.
See, we didn't know about the disco part.
You wouldn't have brought him in, huh?
I didn't tell anybody. I never showed you the pictures either.
Guilty pleasure.
Satin suits and everything.
Goldfish in your pumps.
Then got in really to the blues later in the 90s, and then met Dave, and we played together in various groups for quite a while. And pretty much.
Yeah, we actually played together for quite a few years before this particular group got together.
And Tom?
Oh, well, my father was Mark Fouch. He was a pretty heavy presence musically in the area since the 50s until his death in 2002. So I came from the womb listening to John Philip Sousa and, you know, lots of old world classical music. But really what got me interested, I don't think I took the same path as the conventional path that most people do when they get into music, people our age. With me, it was I was milking a goat out in the barn, and one of our prize hogs knocked my younger brother over and started rooting around in his groin area. And some of the squeals that he was making got me interested in the upper registers, the soprano. You know, type. And then about a week after that.
This sounds like one of those things you invent sitting around the campfire.
Well, it could be, but then when Grandma fell out of the hayloft onto a hay bale, it made this nice thumping noise, and that got me into the lower register and the kind of rhythmic stuff. But my influences just go on and on.
You know who David Sedaris is?
No.
No, that's all right. Well, is it best that way? No, he's a comedian and writer, mostly a writer who's often very funny. But he shows up on public radio a lot, and I'm just reading a book of his. That sounds like a story that he would tell. In fact, it sounds almost like one he just did tell.
Maybe we should get together.
I don't know.
Collaborate.
I think you guys should have another tune.
All right. How about an original, guys? You want to do Jelly Roll?
Sounds good to me.
All right. I wrote this when I was hungry. Jelly roll, jelly roll,
Honey, won't you be my jelly roll? And I'll be your cream-filled Long John man. Jelly roll, jelly roll. Honey, won't you be my jelly roll? And I'll be your cream-filled Long John man. Dolly Madison's a two-bit toy. She'll take your money, then she'll break your heart. Little Debbie's about a 5 out of 10. She'll take your money, then she'll show you some skin. Jelly roll, jelly roll, honey, won't you be my jelly roll? And I'll be your cream-filled Long John man. Jelly roll, jelly roll, honey, won't you be my jelly roll? And I'll be your cream-filled Long John man. Yeah, I'll be your cream-filled Long John man.
'23 Skidoo and a hot cha, baby.
The Big Creek Guitar Band here on Live and Local. Tom Fouch on the vocals and guitar on that one. Dave Lindsay also guitar, and Randy Smith on the bass. They're going to be at Huber's in Champaign Friday night at 8 o'clock, so it's a weekly Friday. I mean, it's a monthly Friday gig. It's always, what would this be, the second Friday?
It's usually around the second or third Friday. It varies from month to month. There's a couple of Saturdays sprinkled in throughout the year, but most of them are Fridays.
And it was the first Monday. What was it over at the Pink House?
Oh, it's first Friday every month. From 5 to 8 for happy hour.
And we'll mention some of the other events you can go see and hear live coming up a little bit later on the show. The trio are live with us here on Live and Local. That sort of your footstool there, Tom, it looks like the top of a piano bench or something like that.
A truncated top
of the piano bench.
These are great for short-legged people. I have a massive, like a 28-inch inseam. If you notice, these pants are probably 30s and they're rolled up at least once. So, yeah, I'm built kind of like a gorilla. My knuckles drag the ground when I walk.
So, should I just assume that anything I ask you is going to get a facetious
smart aleck remark?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I know. The whole world loves a smart butt, right? No, you won't. You'll get, what do you want? What do you want?
I am curious about your recording studio.
Oh, yes. We call it Morningwood Studios. We moved out over the Salt Fork River to it's my dream little piece of America out there. It's, you know, small acreage with some woods and trails and a campground. And the cabin that came with the place when we bought it, it was an old cabin. It's the third cabin to be built around the fireplace, the brick fireplace that's there. And I decided to build a nice big studio onto the cabin, just over the river, probably 70 or 80 feet down to the river. So it's just a gorgeous place to come and relax and record music and play and have gatherings, and just makes me really happy to be able to live there.
Who do you mostly do your own recording projects, or do people come out and make their records at your space?
Everything from full projects to piece work for their studios, and also, you know, of course, producing my own stuff, my own writings. I probably get my greatest joy out of developing music for people and, you know, writing for them, having them come out with an idea or a vision, and then writing and, you know, doing the instrumentation and turning it into a production for them.
I've always wondered, I guess I've heard over time, the amount of input that a record producer will have in the sound of the band, at least the recorded sound of a band.
Absolutely. There are so many different definitions of producer, but I think that the purest one is the one that does the music the most good. With the larger record labels, it's the one that's going to produce the most money for any given piece of music. But I believe that no matter how inexperienced someone may be, everyone has music in them. And people have come out with the smallest ideas and had it turn into a nice reality. And that type of production is letting the music talk to you and tell you what it wants. And that's pretty much how I try to work with people.
You know, that actually sort of leads me to a line here that's in the bio that Jason gave me for the show, in which you actually make a point of, or at least wherever this came from, make a point of saying that when you guys play in a club, wherever it is, that you do it at comfortable and appropriate volume levels, tailored to each venue. And the reason that sort of led me to that thought was it sounds like at some level you want to get the most out of your bands that you're recording or the musicians that you're recording.
Absolutely.
And you guys have a little more audience-friendly approach than some people do, at least audience health-friendly, anyway.
Yeah. What's decibel level.
Yeah, I mean, what is that addressing something specific, the concern that you guys have, or just how you like to hear music, or why is that important?
I think for this band, since we don't have a drummer, seems like a lot of bands, when you have a drummer, that automatically is going to bring your volume level up as a band. And so we try to be fairly quiet, I guess, for the most part, so the club owners will want us back, too. And I've seen many cases where the bands are just too loud, and, yeah, you know, I've been guilty of it. I still like to play loud, you know, loud screaming electric guitar, but, you know, that can actually turn a club owner off, and the audience too, to an extent, if you're way too loud. So we just make an effort to have it at a reasonable volume. You
know. One that fits the venue. One where people can still talk, listen to the band, and hear each other if they want to. But, you know, we've all at times in our life played in hellaciously loud rock bands, and so much of that becomes almost a competition with, okay, I can't hear me, so I'm going to turn up, and then John Doe down there, he'll turn up, and the next thing you know, the whole place is doing an A-weighted 90 decibel, you know, ear-splitting horrendous sound. Well, with us, there is no competition like that. We just try to blend with each other and keep it down, again, you know, to where people can order their food, order their drink, talk to each other, and still be able to enjoy the music.
And if they don't have to talk real loud, then they might every once in a while be able to stop talking, and because nobody else is talking real loud, mm-hmm. they can, oh, there's music going. I can sit
right.
and enjoy
it
that.
Amazes me how many people do just sit and listen to the music, you know, a lot of the venues we play. They come to hear the music. And there are restaurants and there are bars, and the landing is outdoors, like I say, during nice weather. You know, I guess we're consistently the biggest draw they have. And there'll be, what, 200-300 people on lawn chairs out there, and it draws people from across the water and the campground. They come walking down and in, and they really listen to the music, and that really does us a lot of good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that surprises me that would surprise you, because I would think as a musician you want people to do that, so why would you do this thing?
We do want that to happen, but it's not always the reality.
Yeah. Well, people go to hear music for all their own purposes, I guess. Sometimes just have it in the background so they can talk, I suppose. Well, I'm on this personal campaign every chance I get to sort of jump on the idea of bringing music to comfortable volume levels. It's just something that I've been encountered more and more in unlikely places where things are just way too loud, and I just walk out. So I'm really
sure.
Delighted that you guys have a different sort of approach to it.
Come see us, Kevin.
At least with this kind of band.
We'll give you the all-access pass.
Oh, well, all right. Thank you. I'll be sure. Well, the place you can go here, Huber's this weekend, is to hear Big Creek Guitar Band, this weekend is at Huber's in Champaign on Church Street as you head out west towards Mattis Avenue. They're going to be there at 8 o'clock. And, of course, they're live in our studio here on Live and Local. I said I'd mention some of the other things going on in our area. Today is Tuesday the 10th. That means that Chip McNeil's quartet is playing jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 7 o'clock. Denise LaGrassa, singer-songwriter, is at the Doubletree in Bloomington this evening at 5 o'clock. Jeff Arrigo and John Coppes, hoping I'm saying his last name more or less right, will be at the Clark Bar in Champaign this evening at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, Brandon Santini plays the blues at Goodfellas in Pekin, Illinois. That's at 7 o'clock. It's the weekly traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in Champaign tomorrow evening at 7. The band Bacha Calado are at Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6. Some gospel music with Zach and Amanda Smith at Summit Avenue Baptist Church in Decatur Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. The Central High School Jazz Band are playing at the Iron Post in Urbana Thursday evening at 7. Community Players Theater in Bloomington presenting a play called Hauptmann. That is Thursday at 7:30 through Saturday, same time, and then a Sunday matinee at 2:30. And it's John Miller and the Romantics playing Gypsy Jazz at Gracie's in Washington, Illinois. That is at 7 o'clock Thursday evening. And we'll tell you some of what's going on the weekend as we get closer to it here on Live and Local. Our show is made possible with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector, the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. And this is 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. We are a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I want to say thanks to all the folks out there who supported us in 2011. Hope you'll continue in 2012, and I'm pleased to be back with today's live show after a couple of weeks off. Gentlemen, what would you like to take us out with?
Sun is shining, or...
Yeah, Randy hasn't sung one yet.
She's tough.
She's tough?
Fast.
Okay. All right. She gets a little faster, yeah. All right.
Tom Fouch, Dave Lindsay, and Randy Smith are the Big Creek Guitar Band here in Live and Local.
This song has a little comedy element to it. Okay. One, two, three. You ought to see my baby when she walks down the street. Upsetting everybody she meets. She's 23 in the waist and 38 in the hips. She got a long black wavy hair and ruby red lips. Well, she's tough. Yeah, she's tough. My baby's tough. She's rough and tough.
Oh, yeah.
Woo, and that's tough enough. Well, she walked past the clock. The clock won't tell time. She walked through the college. Professor loses mind. Well, she's tough. Yeah, she's tough. My baby's tough. She's rough and tough. I'm telling you, and that's tough enough. President said to my baby,
Come here, sweetheart, you can stop a war right before it starts. We know the enemy or won't pull the trigger when you step out on that front line and they see your fine figure, cause you tough. Yeah, she's tough. My baby's tough. She's rough and tough.
Oh, you crack me up.
Oh, woo. And that's tough enough. Tough enough. And that's tough enough. And that's tough enough. All right.
Big Creek Guitar Band. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.